chapter number 10. I just want us to be reminded of the focus of our kids ministry. Say, why do we do kids ministry? Why is it important that we have kids ministry? There are times in Bellingham where it seems like kids ministry is just, one of the hardest works there is. It's not easy to get a bus going in Bellingham. Amen. It's just not. We have people who work really hard on it and see little fruit. But I'm telling you, it's still worth it to have a bus program in Bellingham. And it's worth it to have a Sunday school program. And it's worth to get silly with the kids. And it's worth it. And our goal is not just because we have nothing to do. It's not our goal. And Mark in chapter 10 gives us the goal of our kids ministry. And it's behind everything we do. From our nursery workers up into our teenagers. The goal is right here. And I just want to talk to you for a few moments about it. And then I just want to stop and allow us to pray. And we're going to be out of here by 7. I told you that this morning. Our goal is what's going to happen. But I just want us to be reminded of these thoughts that the Savior gives us here in Mark 10. Look at verse 13. He says, "And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And the disciples rebuked those that brought them. And when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And then he took them up in his arms," look at this, "and just as the parents desired, put his hands upon them and blessed them." So we want to just talk for a few minutes on the touch of the Savior. The touch of the Savior. Let's pray. Dear God, Lord, God, we need your touch. Lord, I still need your touch upon my life. I still need your hand upon my life. And God, there's not an individual here that does not. And Lord, we're living life in vain without your presence in it. And Lord God, we need you tonight, and we need you every day of our life. And Lord, there's not a child here whose life would not be benefited if the hand of God was to come upon them, Lord, in such a way that, Lord, they had your presence with them always. And Lord God, I just thank you that as we walk through life, we can feel the hand of the Savior guiding us, directing us, calming us. Lord, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A very simple text tonight. There were children being brought to Christ. And there were those who were bringing the children to Christ who were not of the disciples. There were just people that had the desire that Christ would have, would, it says right in verse number 13, that he would touch them. And we understand in our day and time that, in fact, we have rules that you better keep your hands off kids. And that's still a rule, and it still better happen. Amen. But understand with me, this isn't talking about something perverted or something wrong. This is literally the desire that God would have a healing touch in the lives of these children. If you go back in the book of Mark and just look at the times when God's hands are touched, talked about in the book of Mark, you can go back to chapter number 5. And in Mark in chapter number 5 and verse number 22, it says, "Behold, there cometh," I'll wait for you, some of you are flipping, Mark 5 and verse number 22 says, "And behold, there cometh one that ruleth in the synagogue." This would have been a Jewish man. This would have been a religious man. This would have been a man that would have been opposed. Opposed to the ministry of Christ as a ruler in the synagogue. Christ claiming to be the Messiah. Amen. And him being a ruler of the synagogue, their worldviews didn't really go together, as it were. And so, but this man, Jairus by name, when he saw him, he fell at his feet and he besought him greatly, saying, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death, and I pray thee," look at what he says, "that you would come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed, and she shall live." Here is his man fighting for his daughter's life, and it had gotten to the point where he was denying everything of his birth. He was a ruler of the synagogue. He was denying the religion he was raised in. He was denying the training that he had. He was denying everything to look to Jesus, acknowledge that he was the Messiah, and the only help and only prayer that his daughter had would be that the touch of Jesus would be upon her, that she might be healed. I want you to understand, this is something that was going on, that Christ has been walking by and healing men and healing women that had infirmities and that were at the point of death maybe. And with his hands, there was a healing touch, and they were coming back to health, and they were coming back to the point to where life was in them again. Go over to chapter number 6. And in chapter number 6, it says, "And he went out from thence, and he came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogues. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, 'From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works," look at this, "are wrought by his," what? "His hands." Mighty works have been wrought by his hands. They're watching all the miracles that are taking place. They're watching the people that are being healed, and they're watching the lives that are being changed simply by the not magical, but the mighty hands of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, putting his touch upon their lives. And it was them, they were watching it. They could not believe the works that he was doing. It says in verse number 3, look at this. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Job's, Joseph and Judah and Simeon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house." And he could there do no mighty works, save that, look at this, that he laid his hands upon a few sick folks and healed them. I mean, that's just a passing line. He couldn't do anything mighty, but this, look at what he was able to do, even in their unbelief, was that he was able by the touch of his hand to lay them on a few sick folks, that they might be able to be healed. That's kind of just a byline, almost like a disappointment, that all Christ, just literally all he could do. I mean, could you imagine if Christ walked through a hospital and all he could do was just lay his hands on a few folks? I'm telling you, it would be 7 o'clock, whatever time of day news, it would be the news breaking that, listen, this man touched someone and they were raised and healed and their sickness is gone. Because of the touch, and I'm telling you, even the Savior, he was watching what was going on, and he knew what he was doing, and he knew what was being accomplished, and look what it says, and he marveled because of their unbelief. He marveled because of their unbelief. They were able to see what God could do. They were able to witness what Christ had done and the people's lives that have been changed. And it was Jesus Christ himself that just simply said, I can't even believe. I mean, he was amazed that they were in unbelief. And I come on, should it not be the same when he looks at us? And we've watched him work, and we've seen him work in our own lives. And I'm telling you, there are times in our lives where you said, man, I just know that the presence of God was with me, and the presence of God got me through, and the prayers of the saints and the working of God. And listen, and then there are times when we somewhat are just cold to the working of the hand of God in our life. And I'm telling you, it should, listen, cause us to be amazed at ourselves, that we would lack the faith to believe of what God could do. Go to chapter number 8. Go to chapter number 8. We're just looking at what God did with his hands. It says in verse number 22, it says, "And he came to Bethesda, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to," look at this, "to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and he laid him out of, and he led him out of town. And when he had spit on his eyes," look at this, "he put his hands upon him, and he asked him if he saw aught." Jesus Christ, literally with his hands, caused blind eyes to see. And that's what these people were watching. That's what these people were witnessing. If there's anything that should be precious to us, if there's anything should, I'm telling you, break our heart to watch how America is going, it should be the disregard for the innocence of our children. Amen. I'm telling you, just as a nation, the innocence of our children is being stolen, and it's being stolen rapidly, and the care of our children is being being destroyed by different political agendas and worldly agendas. And I'm telling you, these people saw the conditions that they lived in, and they saw the hardships that other people were going through, and they saw the pain and the blindness and the maimness and the sickness that was all around them, and their desire was that Christ would touch their children. That the hand of God would be upon them. That the things that we say, well, were all these kids sick? I don't care, but I'm telling you, if one loved their child, if one said, man, I want my child to have the very best, and I think that would be the desire of a parent, would have their child to be their very best. I'm telling you, if I could get them into the hands of one that could heal every disease known to man, telling you, I'd want his touch upon them. But while the parents had this desire to see Christ touch their children, look at the disciples. Because the disciples rebuked those that brought them. It was literally the disciples that were not helping these children to get to the Savior. Like, yeah, you need to come. Of course you need to come to see the Savior. Of course you would want His hand upon your child. Of course you would want Him to make a difference in their life. I mean, if anybody was going to have an influence on their life, if anybody was going to have a touch upon their life, it would absolutely need to be the Savior. And yet it was the disciples that were rebuking those that were rebuking those that brought them. It means that they were censoring it. It means that they were they were admonishing or forbidding people to come and to come unto Christ. And certainly you'd say, no, that's not us. We would never be in that position. I hope we would never be that way. But I want you to understand, at times we are. I tell you, kids can make a mess and kids can cause problems. If you don't believe that, I'll let you watch my 5 for 10 minutes. They can start a fight over seemingly nothing, and they can destroying. We bought a new sprinkler on Thursday, and I used it Thursday evening, and so I had to water our lawn. I think it's going to be hot. I want to get our lawn in the evenings. I'm going to let the sprinkler run into late into the evening and early in the morning. I'm going to get all this water on our yard because I want our yard to look green because I'm prideful and I want that to take place. And I bought this brand new sprinkler. I mean, it was going to do the whole front and the whole back all at once. And I got it Thursday and I went to turn. I used it Thursday night. I used it Friday morning. I went out Friday night to use it. And guess what those kids did? Broke my new sprinkler. Kids break stuff. They cost money. They do. They absolutely do. I'm telling you, if you have kids, kids carry disease. And if one kid gets sick, every kid in the church is going to get sick. And it just seems to be the way it is. But listen to me. With all the things that we could sit around and think that, man, kids cost. And kids, kids kind of sometimes create chaos. And sometimes kids, not sometimes, all the times kids are noisy. They can't even have a good time quiet. They can't have a bad time quiet. They're going to be loud all the time. And I'm telling you, with all the negatives we can look, I'll tell you what each and every one of them desperately needs. They need the touch of God upon their life. And may it never be the people of God that would stop and say, listen, it costs too much, or it's way too loud, or it's too much of a mess. I'm telling you, we can clean up physical messes, but what we cannot clean up very easily are the spiritual messes that are made in the lives of children who do not have the hand of God upon them. They need God's touch upon them. Every child does. And when we look and see Jesus' response in verse number 14, when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. he was much displeased. And he said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me. That was his desire. This isn't talking about salvation. It's simply talking about, listen, them being in the very presence of God and receiving that touch of the Savior upon their lives. And that's what we have an opportunity every Sunday to do in Sunday school. We have that opportunity to make sure from Sunday school to junior church to vacation Bible school to youth camp, listen, that these children have the touch of the Savior upon their lives. Jesus wanted to touch these children, and our goal for our kids' ministry is that the touch of the Savior would be upon them. It's our whole goal. You would say, well, why? Because we want to see them as part of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And our goal, our desire, our entire focus, you say, I think it's short-sighted. No, I'm telling you, it's not. It's what every person needs, is that as a child they might come to Christ, that they might receive a touch of the one who can heal them and change their lives. So I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to encourage you. Can you stop for just a period of time? For 1 hour a day? Can you? We're going to make a great endeavor. We got over 250 kids supposed to be here at this week of youth camp. I'm telling you, it's going to be hot. It's going to be miserable. It's going to be tiring. And I'm telling you, our goal is this, that in the midst of all of that, God's hand's going to reach down and touch one of them. And it'll be worth every moment. It'll be worth every dollar. And it'll be worth every extra expense we might incur if God would touch the life of a child. Whether it's for their salvation, whether it's for them to serve, or whether it's for God calling them. I'm telling you, there is no limit to what God could do in the life of an individual who has the touch of the Savior upon it. There's no limit. So can I behoove you before you leave tonight that your name would be on a list to pray? Can I beg you that your name would be on a list to pray? It ought to be that we have multiple people in our slots. That ought to be. That I don't have, there's not a slot left. We'll sign your name upon by somebody else who's stopping to pray and pray with them. But I'm telling you, it's going to be worth 5 minutes. At 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It's going to be worth 20 minutes at 3 in the morning. If the hand of God is upon a child in such a way that they know the presence and the true nature of who God is in their life. We're going to go, and I want to stop right now.